Although last week was a very strange Easter, I do hope that you were able to keep the main thing the main thing. I hope that you were able to be with your family and to remember that while just last Friday we remember that Jesus took the pain and the punishment of the cross, that on Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, that it all became worth it. Jesus rose. And that slide is, I didn't realize I left that slide in there. But that is a great point. He is still risen. He is still risen indeed. It's not just for Easter that's the truth. That is the case for all of eternity. Jesus is risen, and he rose from the dead. And we got to celebrate that. Jesus rose. He rose from the dead. He made a way for us. And we talked last week about what was the most of most importance, what was of first importance, that Jesus died on the cross and that he rose again. And that he showed himself to countless people before he was raised to his seat of honor at God's right hand. And we talked about how Paul is telling the first church at Corinth that those are the basic facts, the foundation of the church, the gospel. Paul laid it all out because there were people, not people opposed that were opposed to the church, but not ones that were skeptical of God's church, but instead God's church, people within the Corinthian church, believed that Jesus did not raise from the dead. They didn't believe in the resurrection. How in the world do we have a faith where you don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead? What's the point? And so Paul lays it all out. He says, listen, this is the truth. If it's not the truth, it's all meaningless. It's all worthless. Lots of people at the church of Corinth did not believe in the resurrection. They believed that once Jesus died, he was dead. So I want you to listen to 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 19. It says this, but tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying that there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all of our preaching is useless. It's all useless, and your faith is useless. And we apostles, we would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope is in Christ only for this life, then we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. Paul then spends the next chunk of 1 Corinthians 15 to tell us five implications, five things that it means if the resurrection never happened. I was reading an article this week. It was an article by the BBC. The BBC did a survey in 2017, and they polled all these Christians. And they asked him a lot of questions. But all they pulled all these Christians in the UK. And they asked them, do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Now these are people that called themselves Christians. And what they found was a quarter of people, 25% of people, who described themselves as Christians in Great Britain, do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. That is, I just can't wrap my mind around that. 25%. You see, this is not just a message for back then that Paul is giving to the church in Corinth, but instead, this is a message for today. I have heard it said over and over again, you know, I like Jesus. He was a good teacher. But all that God stuff, man, that's not right. Or this, you know, I like Jesus. He was a good man. But no, he wasn't divine. He wasn't God. Or I love the teaching of Jesus. He was a great philosopher, but all that God stuff and him coming back to life, that's not true. You know, I've heard that over and over and over again. Jesus is a great philosopher, but you can't believe all that coming back to life stuff. That's just improbable. This stuff doesn't happen. So I am assuming this. I'm going to assume something. All right. We all know what happens when we make assumptions, but I'm going to assume something. Right. Most of you guys out there that are hearing this, that a few of you in this room, I'm going to just assume that almost all of you believe in the virgin birth, that Jesus came back and lived among us, and that he died on the cross, and that he was raised on the third day. I'm just going to assume that most everybody tuning in believes that, because why else would you be here if you didn't believe that, right? But there may be some. There may be some that don't believe that. Or you may have people that you talk to that don't believe that, that they think it's too far-fetched. Maybe family members that they just can't get on board with Jesus, or they like Jesus, but man, he was just a good guy, he was a good teacher, and he said really good things, but that's it. Let me tell you something. If there was no resurrection, if Jesus did not come back from the dead, then all of this that we're doing, all of this we're pouring time and money and effort into, is worthless. It's meaningless. Personally, me, Sobek, my life and my career have all been a waste. If God did not raise Jesus from the dead, then we are the biggest suckers ever born. Really, we are. Paul, in his letter to the church of Corinth, lets them know five things that it means if the resurrection never happened. So here's the first one. If Christ is not raised from the dead, then preaching the gospel is foolish. Preaching the gospel is foolish. And the second thing is like it, that believing in Christ is useless. So here we go. John 11:25-26. Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha?" See, Jesus repeatedly tells people several key things about himself. Well, the first thing is that I am God. The second thing he says over and over again, I am the door, I am the gate, I am the road to have access to God, because he is my Father. And if you love me, you have access to him. That's what he told them. The third thing, he says, he kept over and over again, he said, I'm going to die, and then I'm going to be raised to life. I'm going to come back from the dead. He said it clearly. He said it plainly. And here's the thing, if any of those things, any of those three things are untrue, then none of it has any value. Because God cannot lie. He is truth. That's his very nature. That's who he is. So if anything that Jesus said is untrue, that means he is not God. And if he is not God, then there is no access. There is no eternal life. There is no peace with God the Father, because if he is not who he said he was, then the whole thing is bunk. So preaching the gospel is foolish. believing in Christ is useless. And Paul then goes on to say, if Christ is not raised from the dead, then your faith is futile. And that we are still guilty of sin. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now listen, if the wages of sin is death, but Jesus didn't save us, then we're still stuck in our sin. Does that make sense? So from the very beginning, there had to be death to cover sin. Look at the story. You guys know the story of Adam and Eve, right? Adam and Eve, they ate the fruit. It was bad times. They hid from God. They realized they were naked, right? God comes walking, strolling through. He's like, hey, where are you guys? Why are you hiding? This is different. And they're like, well, we knew we were naked and we were scared. And God's like, who told you you were naked? Did you eat from the fruit? And they're like, well, yeah, we did. Okay. You notice the very next thing that happened? Before God kicked them out, God killed two animals and he made clothes for them to cover their shame. In the Old Testament, priests made sacrifices every year for you to cover the sin of you and your family. And when Jesus went to the cross, his blood covered our sin. He made it so that we can be right with God. And that when God sees those of us that have accepted Jesus, he sees the blood of Jesus and it is covering our doorpost, you know? However, if the resurrection never happened, if Jesus wasn't who he said he was, then not only are we putting our faith in a lie, not only is our faith futile, but we're still guilty of sin. We still deserve death, we still deserve judgment, and ultimately we still deserve hell. Paul then goes on to say, finally, that if Christ is not raised from the dead, then we're to be pitied. Which makes sense, right? If none of this is true, then we're putting our faith and our hope in a lie. We've bought in hook, line, and sinker to a con man. We are trusting in something that will never happen. We are depriving ourselves of the old adage. You guys know the old adage. He who dies with the most toys wins. There's no reason to live any differently if there is no Jesus, if there is no resurrection, if there is nothing after this. Just eat, drink, and be merry. Who cares? And for what? Because we are deceived. Guys, Paul says it and it's true. If this whole thing is a lie, we are to be pitied because we are pitiful. However, I love the however. Paul then goes on to say in verses 20 to 28, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all those who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now, Now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. And after that, the end will come when he will turn the kingdom over to God the Father, having destroyed every ruler and authority and power. For Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies beneath his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. For the scriptures say, God has put all things under his authority. Of course, when it says all things are under his authority, that does not include all, does not include God himself who gave Christ his authority. Then when all things are under his authority, the Son will put himself under God's authority, so that God, who gave his Son authority over all things, will be utterly supreme over everything, everywhere. You know, I've talked about it before. And because of time, I won't go into it right now. But let me just say that logically and historically, Jesus did come to earth. And he did die on the cross. And he was resurrected. Historians have made no qualms about the historicity of a man named Jesus and that he died on the cross. Nearly every historian believes that. And we know that to be true. But we also know that he appeared to thousands of people before he ascended to God and after he was crucified. We know that to be true. We know that the disciples continued to preach the gospel, every one of them sacrificing everything, their whole lives they gave till their death. And 11 of the 12 died a horrible, horrible death because of their faith in Jesus. So I would like to just go ahead and throw this out there. I think the resurrection, and not only do I think, I know, the resurrection of Jesus changed everything. It proves that Jesus is exactly who he claimed to be. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 8 says, I passed on to you what was most important and what had been also passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom were still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James, and later by all the apostles, and last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. Listen, if the resurrection is true, which is the most outlandish thing that Jesus said would happen, right? If that is true, then everything else he said is true. And since we believe the resurrection to be true, that means that Jesus is exactly who he claimed to be. That he is God, that he is the door, he is the gate, he is the road to have access to God because he's God's Son. That his death on the cross covered our sin and has given us right standing with God. That we know we've been adopted into the family of God and we get to have peace with him. And we get to help restore the whole earth to him. That's what that means. He is exactly who he said he was. Number two, the resurrection proves that Jesus keeps his promises. Matthew 16:21 says, from then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the religious law, that he would be killed on the third day he would be raised from the dead. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ, with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. Or verse 22 of that same chapter, and he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything that he has promised us. Listen, God is a promise-keeping God. If he said it, and the Bible shows over and over again that it's going to happen. God has promised to be good to us. And believe me, He has been so, so good. Jesus has promised that He will be with us. He's promised that. Now listen, if this whole thing is a lie, if this whole thing is bunk, then I don't know how I found peace. June 30th, 2017. My boy, who is a picture of health now, was born at 1 pound and 6 ounces. Born at 24 weeks, which is pretty much the cutoff to whether or not they can save the baby. And Jesus was with me. I don't know how else to say it. I don't know how else I could have made it through it. Jesus was with me. And He held me. I know I'm a big guy. It's weird to say He held me, but He did. And He carried me. And He sustained me. And He gave me peace when I shouldn't have had any peace. And I'm not saying that I did that all perfectly, because there were so many times where I struggled and I failed and I didn't trust and I wanted to just throw my hands up in the air and give up. But man, His promises that He would be with me are what carried me. And I am living proof that that is indeed the case. That Jesus, when He said, "I will be with you," He's with me. And He can be with you. He has promised us that He is coming again and He is taking us home to a place that He has prepared for us. His promises are true. There's so many more. Jesus promised so many things for us. As life and my faith continue to go and go on, I believe them because He's never let me down. Ever. Number three, my last one. The resurrection proves that there is life after death. John 3:16, you guys know this one. "For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life." Romans 10:9-10, "That if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved." Listen. This all takes faith, this whole thing. But I want you to know, I have faith, not futility. I don't know you where you are with it, but it's true. It's all true. However, faith does not mean blindly believing. Faith does not mean that there is no proof. Faith does not mean that we are not allowed to think or to question, or to doubt. And I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of doubt right now in the world. And there's a lot of Christians that are doubting right now, that are skeptical right now, that are hurting right now. And I want you to know, and if that's where you are today, it's okay. It's okay. We have a big God. We have a big God. And He loves us. And just like dads have to sometimes let their kids question and vent and wonder if it's all real or something that we have said is true, and just like that, how I am to my children, God gives us the freedom and the space to do the same thing. But faith means trusting a God that has come through for me time and time again. Faith is acknowledging that we believe that God has kept every promise this far and that, of course, He will continue to keep His promises. I'm so glad for the promise of life after death. Listen, if this is it, if this right here, if this is it, then how sad and bleak my future looks. If we just cease to exist after our last breath, then what did it all mean? How insignificant my life has been. No, I believe that life is not futile. I believe that my faith has not been an act of futility. Here's what I believe. That though this life is a blip on the radar, I'm going to plagiarize here from one of my favorite movies. What we do in this life echoes in eternity. I have a King. I have a God that loves me. I have a God that has a plan for my life here on earth and that has secured a place for me in eternity with Him. I believe that. And God wants you to believe that too. He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to place your hope and your faith in Him. He wants to have a relationship with you. Because this life is not it. But what this life, what you do in this life, echoes for all of eternity . If the resurrection is not true, it's all been meaningless and not been worth it, but it has been worth it because I believe with all of my heart that Jesus is who He said He was, that He is God, and that He loves me, and that He will keep His promises.